The simplest things are the truest and most important parts of growth and personal development. And we have such an example in the sixth parsha. Avram and Sarah are traveling, and the entire entourage is traveling. And, of course, Avram has a lot in his mind, and he's on the move. And the Torah describes, the Torah describes their voyage, Vayetsham Ohalo. Find the pasuk for you. Vayatek misham ahara v'mikadem lebeisel pasachas vayet ahalo. Pitches his tent. Why the Torah tells us that he pitches his tent? I mean, obviously he had to sleep somewhere, so it's implicit. Torah doesn't record information unnecessarily, randomly. Partly because the word ohalo is written in a strange fashion. The grammatically correct way to write ohalo is aleph hey lamed vav. Ohalo. The word is written aleph hey lamed hey. Vayet ohalo beisel miyam vay mikedem. So Rashi notes that this effeminate version of a male tent indicates that Avraham erected his wife's tent before his own. Rashi's lashon is ahalo ahalak siv betchila natas alishto v'chakach eshila. So there really are two layers to this Rashi. First of all, about being a good husband, about being courteous to your wife, about placing your wife's needs first, especially when it comes to areas of physical exertion, but even in general areas. But in a broader sense, it's not just about marriage. It's about, I think, one of the core virtues of human character and of human nobility, making other people first, making your needs last. And if you're able to accomplish that in life, you'll be a very good person, a very good husband, a very good father. And at this stage in your life, it's harder to practice it because you don't have that many people that depend on you. You're basically a free agent. You have your needs, you attend to them. You interact with people casually at the lunch table, in the base medrash, in friendships, in social settings. Obviously, as you grow older, and there are more people in your life and more people that have quote-unquote demands of you, legitimate demands, and people that you can help and assist, your family, people in your community, obviously your children, your spouse, people you work with, as you enter into relationships and situations that you grow into, how can you become someone who puts their needs last? And those, of course, putting your needs last is not just your physical needs, but even your emotional needs. And you need to entertain yourself, and you need to, I see you come home one day, and you're exhausted, and you've been working hard, and you're all stressed out, and you haven't slept in 3 nights, and all you want to do is watch the game. Yeah, but your children are sitting there on the side, and they want you to talk to you. They want you to talk to them, and your wife is sitting at the dining room table, and there are people in the community that could use, and how can you say my needs come last? When everyone's asleep and everyone's taken care of and all their needs are served, then maybe I'll relax and maybe I'll enjoy. Again, you have to replenish yourself. You have to make sure that you remain emotionally healthy and emotionally sustainable so you can serve other people. You can't deplete yourself. But how can you become that type of person that is not just courteous at the bus stop, but is sincerely, sincerely dedicated to placing your needs last and taking care of other people's first? And I want to encourage you to start practicing it now. These are traits that if you practice it at a very young age, they can become habitual. They can become very deeply ingrained. Again, it's not real now because you're not engaged in deep, long-term relationships. But just casual moments. Think about during the course of your day and your week, sitting at the table, pass the food to someone first. Don't grab the food first. Let someone get on the bus first. Let someone pass you in the base of matters. Try to not place your needs at that moment. Again, I don't want you to constantly be giving the right of way because then you'll never get anywhere. You can stand by the door, please go in, go in, go in. And you're never going to enter a room that you need to be at. There's obviously a healthy balance. But try to detect, try to be conscious of moments in your life where you can place other people's needs, and if they're emotional needs, even more so. Because the physical stuff is, I don't want to say it's symbolic, but it's not existential. It's just being courteous. It's being acting with respect to other people. But when it's emotional needs, and you really give up something that you want so that another person can thrive and another person can grow, that's an even greater moment of growth and will train you even more so. But again, try to practice it at the table, try to practice it in your room within reason. Most importantly, try to be aware of it is if you start to develop these traits at a younger age, then they can really become. I remember a couple of years ago, I was in a community for Shabbos as a guest rabbi, and I got some feedback, and I was expecting, what was the feedback? They like this speech, they like that speech, this year, that year. You know, some women had come to shul at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we had arrived to shul at the same time, so I just naturally opened the door and held it for them. Two women are walking into shul. I'm like, they couldn't imagine that a rabbi, a guest rabbi, would hold the door for them. I didn't even remember doing it. It was like I'd hold the door for anyone, let alone, you know, women that are walking to shul. That was what they remembered. And you want to make sure that you're someone that's Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, but not just Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to act in the right way, to be a good person. And as I said before, midos are not just how much Torah you learn and how well you daven and how much tzedakah you give, but can you sculpt yourself into the best person possible and work on all your traits? So it's a very simple Rashi, a very simple concept. Vayed Shemahalo, first he takes care of his wife, and then he deals with his own. Think about it one day when you get married, for sure. Take it literally. Maybe these little seeds that I'm planting in your mind, you'll read that Rashi when you're married one day. Oh, yeah, this is really the way I should be a good husband. And check yourself. Being a good husband is not putting yourself on pilot, but checking yourself and, you know, how am I doing? Am I working hard enough? It's work, it's effort, it's labor, it's thought, it's not mindfulness. It's not just, you should take your being a husband seriously. It's not something you just lock yourself into. It's something you have to work hard at. And again, it's part of your being an Oved Hashem. Okay, let's take a look at two very interesting topics. Let me start recording. Two very interesting topics which emerge from the Gemara written.